Good evening, everyone. Good evening, ladies. One ladies gather. Good evening. Those of you in group one, group two, group three, good evening. Yes, good evening, amazing women of God, girls that Jesus loves. I mean, let me address you guys by the group names. Okay, God's Drill Group, the beloved, virtuous ladies, good evening. Welcome to At His Feet Bible Study. For those of you joining us for the first time, joining the community for the first time, you are so welcome, and I'm so glad to have you here. We prayed for you, and you are here with us. God bless you for joining in. Thank you, too, for those of you who share and invite, you know, people and others. Thank you so very much. God bless you. To my amazing team, thank you so very much for the prayers and the worship. God bless you. Okay, so quickly, let's get into the Word of God for today. Because of time and considering the fact that we're going to be looking at two ladies today, because last week I was in a conference and my spiritual parents, so I couldn't, have the Bible study, you know. So we're going to have two ladies today. Amen. Glory to God. All right, so quickly before we start, shall we just say a word of prayer? Hallelujah. Father, Lord, I thank you for another time to learn at your feet. Thank you, Father, for how we started, for the lessons from Miriam, the lessons from Martha. Lord, we are grateful. Thank you, Father, for this community and for every one of us. Lord God, I ask, oh God, for illumination. I ask, oh God, that let your word enter into our hearts tonight. And let your word instruct us. Let your word correct us. Let your word transform us. Let your word strengthen us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for utterance tonight. Hallelujah. All right, so quickly, I'm going to be sharing God's word with us. Lessons from two ladies in the Bible, and today we're going to be looking at Anna and another lady called the woman at the well. Amen. Okay, so quickly let's go to Anna. Let's learn from Anna. How many of you know who Anna is? Okay. Now, before we even start, how has the previous, you know, ones been, previous At His Feet, Martha, Miriam, I mean, I'm sure he blessed you, right? He did bless me, and I give God all the praise, but see, tonight, it's going to be more and more, much more a blessing. All right, so I want you to pay close attention to the Word of God. Now do well to bring out your Bibles, a writing pad, because God will be speaking to you all tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. So quickly, let's go to Anna. Anna is actually the mother of Samuel. All right, Anna's story can be found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1 and then 1 Samuel chapter 2. After that, you know, we didn't hear anything about Anna again. Okay, so come with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. I would have loved to read the old chapter, but because of time, I may not be able to do that. Because there's so much to learn from Anna. You know, while I was just studying, the Spirit of God just bringing so many, you know, lessons from her, you know, to share with us tonight. Okay, so I'll be reading from the Message translation. I believe that to be posted. Okay, so everyone, open your Bible. If you're using New Version, quickly go to the Message translation. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Okay, the Message translation. All right, just those who are projecting, please, if it's a very long chapter, all right, you can just post 1 Samuel chapter 1 and put read. Okay. Those posting, just write 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2, Message transition, read. Alright, and every other scripture that I, you know, talk about or teach from, you can just post it like that. I believe we got that. Okay. Alright, so I'm going to read. Please pay close attention. Have your Bibles there. Please open your Bibles. Alright, so 1 Samuel chapter 1, Message transition. It says, there was once a man who lived in Ramatea. Okay, I'm going to skip all of that. All right, let me go down. He says that this man was married. He had two wives. The first was Anna, and his second wife was Penina. All right, and he said Penina had children. Hannah did not have children. Hallelujah. Now, the meaning of Anna in the Hebrew, the meaning of Anna means, you know, grace and favor. Imagine somebody, you know, being, you know, called Anna, and you know the meaning of your name. Like, you know that your name is grace and favor. That's what it means. And that, and you having this name, but you're not, it's not translating in terms of, you know, giving birth to children. Amen. Glory to God. Now, guess what happened to her? Now, the Bible says every year, you know, every year, her husband, okay, would go to Shiloh to worship, okay, and they would offer sacrifice to God, the God of Hami, God of the angels Hami. Okay, says Eliah and his sons, and his two sons, Ophni and Phinehas, they served as priests of God there. Okay, says where Elkanah offered, when Elkanah sacrificed, he passed helpings from the sacrificial meal around to his wife Penina and all her children. But he always gave an especially generous helping to Anna because he loved her so much and because God had not given her children. Okay, so what this means is, you know, this the things for, you know, the sacrifice, all right, because you have to come, you know, before the Lord for to sacrifice with different, you know, animals and all of that. So he usually gave each of the family members different sacrifices, but he gave Anna, you know, a large amount of sacrificial items. That's what it means. Why? Because she didn't have any children. Now, Elkanah was trying to make her not feel bad. He was trying to cope the situation. He was trying to, you know, not let whatever it is she's going through, you know, to get to her. That's a good man. Amen. That's a good man. But today we don't want to talk about that. Okay, it says, the Bible says, but a rival wife taunted her cruelly, rubbing it in and never letting her forget that God had not given her children. This went on year after year. Every time she went into the sanctuary of God, she would expect to be taunted. Anna was reduced to tears and had no appetite. You know, someone be like, Penina, what Penina did was really cruel. But looking at this story, the Spirit of God began to show me that he allowed this to happen to Anna. Amen. Why did he allow this to happen to Anna? He allowed it to happen to Anna so that she would be pushed to go to God. Amen. One of the first lessons I want us to learn from Anna tonight is that do not allow the enemy cause you so much pain before you go to God. Yes. Okay, see what you know, the Bible talked about Penina. It says Penina will rub it in her face, kept taunting her year after year, like kept rubbing it in her face year after year. Every time she went to the sanctuary, so she would expect to be taunted. Imagine going to church, like imagine going to, you know, let me know. Imagine going to where they, you know, to the yearly, you know. It's like an event they look forward to. And then every time she's going, she's like, I'm going to be taunted by Penina again. I'm going to be taunted by Penina again. Amen. All this year, she was meant to, she didn't have to wait until that, you know, embarrassing, you know, time for Penina to embarrass her. But she kept, you know, waving it off. Perhaps it could be because her husband made her feel comfortable. Her husband made her feel there's nothing wrong with you. You're fine. I love you. If you read downwards, you know, when the Bible says she was reduced to tears and, you know, she had no appetite, it kind of was like, what's your problem? Am I not worth more to you than, you know, he said, am I not worth more to you than 10 sons? So it kind of made her feel comfortable. Amen. See, there are some of you listening to me right now. Amen. You're going through situations that are not pleasant, but there is an Elkanah that has made you comfortable. There is an Elkanah that is making you feel like it's okay, it's all right, you'll be fine. But deep down, you know it's not fine. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. It's not fine. It's not what God wants for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For instance, okay, you're listening to me right now. You know, You know deep down that you are meant to be married. Amen. You are meant to be married, but for some reason, you know, maybe one woman who has had a failed marriage, amen, comes to say to you, and she's like, see, don't stress yourself. You are getting to 40, oh. Maybe you're in your 30s, yeah? And one woman who has had a failed marriage comes to you, and she's like, see, don't worry, oh. See, don't let anybody disturb you. And for this marriage itself, don't stress yourself and all of that. See, you are fine. You are single. You'll be all right. Blah, 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 and all of that. But according to God's plan for your life, you are meant to have met your husband by now. Now, you can feel comfortable and see that, be like, I'm fine. Amen. And the desire to go to God. Because, you know, the Bible says, Jesus was speaking to his disciples in Mark 11. It says, whatsoever you desire when you pray. Amen. Some of you, the reason you're not seeing results in your life is because that thing you don't desire is here. Yes. Hallelujah. The reason you're not seeing results is because you don't desire that thing yet. Amen. So all these years that Anna was going to the temple for sacrifice, she was just going, and then even Penina was stunting her, but the desire to have children, it didn't really rest on her, because it kind of made her felt comfortable. It kind of made her feel it's okay with you. Amen. But on the faithful year, she was reduced to tears and she had no appetite. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then what did this woman do? What did this woman do? She went to pray. Amen. See, do not allow the enemy, you know, cause you so much pain, make you feel comfortable in a place that God doesn't want for you. And then you're just in that comfort zone, like everything is fine. You don't have a job. You are living from hand to mouth. You are like, maybe because, you know, maybe you're staying with somebody, you're still feeding you. That's a kind of, you are getting pet to your, you know, in your 30s, and you're still receiving, you know, they're still feeding you. When you are meant to have, you know, been, you know, meant to have been working, you know, doing something for yourself, you're still like, I'll be fine. That's a kind of, amen, glory to God. You have to get out of that place. You need to, it's okay if you're reduced, if you get to that point where you are reduced to tears, where you're like, see, in this house, I'm not eating again. I need to see God. You are just moved into fasting. Amen. Glory to God. Do not allow the enemy cause you so much pain before you go to God. I believe that sometimes God allows certain things to push us to the wall so that we can go to Him. Of course, we need to understand that it's the enemy that is back of it. But I feel like God is like, see, this my child does not want to pray. You know, let the thing get, you know, to a point where she's reduced to tears and she cannot eat. And she'll be like, she'll go to God. Amen. Some of you are not praying now. You're not praying. You know, you see when they do prayer for your future husband, you're like, what are they even doing there? Let's pray, you know. You're like, what are they doing there? Come for us to speak. You're like, what are they doing there? Until when life situation hits you face to face. You know, they say rubber meets road, I'll be hit road. That's when you will not even know when you start waking up by 4 a.m. in the morning. Kobo Sagada. Your tongues. Maybe before you used to pray in tongues. And when you're praying in tongues, you put one leg on chair. And then you just be chatting everybody. Shabalaba. Oh, shigerebe. Oh, Lucy, how far now? This one. When situation hits you like this, and you know that, see, God has to show himself. You will wake up. You will flight your phone. You are kabasu gabahata. Reketekete. Father, show up. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe that some of you, it's because you're still a canal. Yeah. That's why you've not, you know, gotten hungry. And you're like, God, no. Not anymore. Hallelujah. I believe we're getting blessed. All right, let's run now. Glory to God. Amen. Now, to the next lesson we can learn from Anna. Just follow me. Just follow me. Amen. I want to run now. Just follow me. Glory to God. The next lesson we can learn from Anna is that Anna didn't go to God for a son so she could prove a point to Penina and Pepeha. Yeah. She didn't go to God, you know, for a son so that she could prove a point to Penina and Pepeha. Let's read it so we can see it. Amen. Her husband said, what exactly is the matter with you? You know, am I not worth more to you than 10 sons and all of that? Verse 9, it says, and Anna ate. Then she pulled herself together, slipped away quietly, and entered the sanctuary. the priest Eli was on duty at the entrance to God's temple, you know, in the customary seat. She was crushed in soul. Anna prayed to God and cried inconsolably. Then she made a vow. And then she said, "O God of the angel of armies, if you take a good look at my pain, you'll quickly neglecting me and going into action for me by giving me a son. Since I will give him completely unreserved to you, I'll set him apart for a life of holy discipline." All right, now you could see that she didn't go to God and she was like, "God, see, you need to give me a son. I need to prove a point to Penina. I need to show her that, see, she doesn't want to have children." Ha. Some of you, you know, you know, you want to the reason you want to get results, you want to see things in your life is because you want to pepper people. Amen. God did not call us to pepper people. Hallelujah. God called us to shine the light. We are the salt of the earth. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I love what she did. She didn't go to God with God. "He needs to give me a son so I will pepper Penina. So I will show Penina that she's not the one that is set out. Me too, I can be set out." No, she went to God and then she reached out for a higher purpose. She said, "God, if you give me a son, I'm going to give him back to you." Hallelujah. She said, "God, if you give me a son, I'm going to give him back to you." Glory to God. Now, she wanted to live for a higher purpose. There's so many people right now doing things because they want to prepare each other. Amen. Do you want to live a life of purpose or you want to be preparing people? Hallelujah. Anna chose a higher purpose for having a child. She could have said it as, "See, God, I want a child so I will prove a point to Penina." But she was like, "God, I want a child and I'm going to give him back to you." She made a vow to God. Hallelujah. So many people now, the reason they want to launch out, they want to launch a conference, launch a seminar, launch a, everybody's doing things, 2-6 years. Cynthia that wasn't even my mate in school, see what she's doing, she's moving crap, moving stuff, me too, I must start my own, and blah, 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 blah. That's the reason some people want to do stuff. Amen. They are not driven by higher purpose. That's the purpose of God's plan for their life. I mean, the purposes of God, God's plan and purpose for their lives. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You need to be moved by a higher purpose in life. Hallelujah. I'm going to read Galatians 5 verse 25 to 26. You know, the KJV translation says, "If we live in the Spirit," it says, "let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory," listen, "vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Hallelujah. Envying one another. Glory to God. Amen. What's moving you? What's pushing you? Is it envy? What's pushing you to the place of prayer? What's pushing you? She went to the place of prayer not because she was envious of, you know, Penina. She went to the place of prayer because she was in pain. Hallelujah. She knew she wanted a child, but she didn't have one. She wanted a child desperately. Hallelujah. What's moving you? Is it because of vainglory? You want to provoke people? I will show them. Eh? Is that what's moving you? Amen. You're not living for the high purpose of God. Let me read it in the TLB translation. It says, "If we are living now by the Holy Spirit's power," it says, "let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our life." It says, verse 26, watch this now. It says, "Then we won't need to look for honors and popularity, which leads to jealousy and hard feelings." Amen. As believers, as ladies, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. We need to do things from the inside out. You know, because people are doing things, we're going to do it. People are, "This one is trending, we'll jump on it." No. Amen. Glory to God. We do things from inside out. We are led. When it comes to destiny things, we are led. Hallelujah. We are not led by trends. We are led by the Spirit of God. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So we don't go about seeking for popularity, seeking for honors. Because there are certain times that we are being led by God, and God is going to tell you to do something that will not make you popular, that will not make you, you know, people to honor you and clap for you and all of that. But as long as you are led, you are popular in heaven. Amen. That's where I want to be. I don't want to be popular on earth and then in heaven, I'm not relevant there. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that, you know, there's a cloud of witness. You know, there are people watching us in heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'm sure you don't want them watching you and they're like, "What is this one doing?" Everybody's like clapping for you, but they are like, "This one is never, he's not even scoring God's plan and purpose for her life." Amen. James 4 verse 2-3. It says, "Ye lust and have not. It says, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. It says, you fight and war, ye have not, because ye ask not. Verse 3, it says, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. It says, you ask and you ask amiss. Why? Because you want to consume it on your lust. You want to prove a point. Please tonight, I want you to divorce yourself from every ungodly reasons to pray. Every ungodly reasons to desire things. Why do you want to do things? Why do you want God to use you? Why do you want to be influential? Is it because you want to prove a point to people? Or you want people to be blessed? Or you want to fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life? Amen. Glory to God. It's for my life, for me. I can tell you this, for me. All I just want is to fulfill God's plan for my life. If God's plan for my life is that let me just be in one village, so there's no internet, there's nobody there, come on, bring it on, I'm there. Amen. Because there's such a thing as, what gives us joy is not the accolades. What gives us joy is knowing that you are in intimate relationship with God. Hallelujah. Intimate relationship with God. Knowing that you are following the footsteps of the Father. The Father is going here. You are going here. The Father is going to the south. You're going to the south. You're not going to the north, because that's where praises will be. Amen. Glory to God. I believe we're getting blessed tonight. Another lesson we'll take from Anna is that she didn't take offense at the priest. Amen. Now, if you read that story, you will see that Eli, the priest, said, woman, you are drunk. Oh, how can you be drunk like this? I know. But she didn't take offense. You know, some people, if their heart is not right, after crying, they'll just stand up. I'm praying to God to give me children. You are here telling me that I'm drunk. Who do you think you are? Blah, 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 blah. Now, see, Eli may be a priest, but he misinterpreted her. He misunderstood her. Now, there are times that your pastors, people that, God has called and anointed, there are times that he may misinterpret, misunderstand you, and all of that. And so many people take offense. You shouldn't. Amen. You shouldn't. If they take offense, I'm sorry, ma. With honor, correct it. I'm like, no, this is what I meant. I didn't mean it that way. And all of that. Don't take offense at God's anointed. Don't take offense at people that God has called over your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because you know why? It is you that will be cheated. Because if you read that scripture, the account of Anna, the Bible says when she explained, what she was doing, she told the priest, let's read it. Let's read it. Amen. Let's read it. The Bible says, Anna said, verse 15, it says, Anna said, oh no, sir, please, I'm a woman hard used. I haven't been drinking, not a drop of wine or beer. The only thing I've been pouring out is my heart, pouring it out to God. Don't for a minute think I'm a bad woman. It's because I'm so desperately unhappy and I'm in such pain that I've stayed here so long. Eli answered her and said, go in peace and may the God of Israel give you what you have asked for. Amen. She didn't take offense. And Eli now, further prayed for her. Like, it was more like he sealed her prayer and declared it is done. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So don't take offense at God's anointed. Don't take offense at your pastors, your mentors. No matter what they've done, love them. I've come to a place in my life where I'm like, see, it doesn't matter what my mentors, my spiritual father, my mother, from what they do to me, I will love them. Yes. I've gotten to that point. See, if you don't get to that point in your life, see, there are certain things, there are certain realms you will not walk in. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Amen. Let it go. Let it go. Don't take offense. Don't take offense at your pastors. So many people, they are not going in their local assembly because they are offended at their pastors. So many people, they are not growing spiritually. They are not even growing in God's plan and purpose for their lives because they are offended at God's anointing. They are offended at those people that God has placed as covering over them. I've seen people who offense has finished though. They are doing stuff so. Amen. But you will see that there is just this cap. They're not shifting and they're not elevating above a certain place. It is offense. Offense can put a cap on your life. I'm telling you. So, offense is so expensive. Don't afford it. Amen. Tell yourself, I can afford you know, Ferrari, I can afford, you know, I can afford iPhone 11, I can afford the good life. But see, when it comes to offense, still say that you cannot afford it. Amen. You can't afford to be offended. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Offense defiles. Amen. Offense defiles. This one is just talk about offense, but just want you to know, do not take offense. Because, I mean, how will you be accusing me? I'm crying. She had every right to be offended, but she did not take offense. Hallelujah. I love this prayer so much in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9. It says, let our love abound yet more and more, that we may be without offense to the day of Christ. You need to pray that prayer for yourself, that you'll be without offense to the day of Christ. Now people will try to offend you. Amen. But you will choose to take offense. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm sure that some people listen. Maybe they've tried to send me a message several times. Maybe tell me I do not answer. They say, I'm offended. Amen. Please, you're the one doing yourself. Is it true? Glory to God. Why not put a message or an SMS or a call? I'm trying to reach you, ma. I stop allowing the enemy whisper offense vibes. He's doing you. Me, I'm here. Loving God. Pray for everybody. Amen. But if you're offended, how would the prayer reach you? All right. So let's move on. She didn't take offense at the priest. Amen. And another thing is she understood honor. Oh, yes. She understood honor. I'm just going to read two scriptures on honor and then we're going to move. Amen. Romans 13 verse 7, it says, render therefore to all dues, tributes to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor is due. All right. She understood honor. She knew that this one is the priest though. She knew that this one is the priest though. I mean, I cannot go and be talking to priests anyhow. You know, you see the translation that we read, she said, no, sir. She addressed him with honor. She understood honor. Some of you, don't have single drop of honor is on your head. Your pastor is your mate. Your mentor is your mate. I've rebuked some of my mentees. They want to send me a message, they'll be putting question mark because I did not answer on time. What's the meaning of that? You know, it's actually dishonorable. You may not know, but know now. Don't go and do that to your pastor. Imagine, I did not put question mark. Excuse me, as in, hello, are you not seeing this? That's what it means. Amen. Honor. She understood honor. 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 Glory to God. Amen. I am very attracted to people who are honorable. Amen. Because I walk in honor towards my, you know, my pastors, you know, my husband. Amen. Glory to God. Even when, you know, maybe I fall out, you know, because my husband, you know, we're married and all of that, is my friend and all of that, but the Lord corrects me and I'm like, wow. Sometimes I kneel down to begging, babe, I'm sorry about this, I'm sorry. You know, honor, honor, honor. It's very important. Amen. Glory to God. 1 Timothy 5 verse 17. It says, let the elders rule well. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and in doctrine. See that? Double honor. Double honor. Double on the word of God says, honor those who labor in word and in doctrine. Honor them very well. Amen. Honor them very well. Glory to God. Some people will be calling their mentor, their sis, babe. Hey, God. He says, well, anyway, today is not the day for that. And then, let's read on. One lesson we can learn from her again is that the presence of God is a cure for unhappiness and pain. Apologies that I'm rushing this. Amen. I have limited time to do this. One lesson we can learn from her is the presence of God is the cure for unhappiness and pain. Let's go to verse 16. All right, verse 16. She said that, you know, she was explaining to Hela. She was like, don't for a minute think I'm a bad woman. It's because I'm so desperately unhappy. And it's because I've stayed here so long. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. She was there, you know, she was there with God, you know, and she was, you know, pouring her heart to the Father. Amen. And that's where she could find, you know, solace. That's where she could find comfort. Hallelujah. The presence of God is where we find comfort. The presence of God is a cure for unhappiness and pain. Okay, now if you read the next The next verse, okay, verse 18. And she said, think well of me and pray for me, she said, and went away. Then she ate heartily, her face radiant. Hallelujah. She left the presence of God in joy. You know, the presence of God is where we find, you know, is where we find joy. It's where we find, you know, happiness. Some of you try to find happiness on social media, try to find happiness in movies. No. The presence of God is where we find joy. So let's learn to tarry in his presence. You know, this evening while I was just praying for, you know, at the sweet, I was like, I honestly wish I don't even have to preach today because I was enjoying myself, you know, playing worship song, just loving God, praying and loving him. Amen. His presence is amazing. If you can watch movies for 5 hours, why can't you do retreats with the Lord for 5 hours and even more? Ladies, listen to me. I want you to mortify anything that tries to take away God's presence from you. Prioritize God's presence in your life. Hallelujah. Prioritize his presence. Exodus chapter 33 verse 14. He says, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Amen. Glory to God. The scripture says somewhere in Psalms, it says, you know, that in that presence is fullness of joy. And in the right hand is pleasures forevermore. In God's presence, there is fullness of joy. There's fullness of joy. There's fullness of joy. Oh, your presence is ever to me. So kabananande. Oh, your presence, Lord. Your presence is ever to me. Glory to God. Prioritize God's presence. Make our time for the Lord. You are hurting over something. Don't go on social media and then be pouring your pain. Amen. Go to the Lord. That brings me to the next lesson. It says, Anna showed us what to do when you are pained. You're not to go on social media and be narrating. Do you know that since last night I've not eaten? Do you know that this one, that one? Blah, blah, blah. See, as a believer, that's disgraced your heritage. You are disgracing your heritage. You are disgracing your heritage because you are a child of God. Amen. If you are having issues and all of that, go to your father. Go to your shepherd. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Go to God. Glory to Jesus. Go to God. Go to God. Amen. God is amazing. Don't go on social media and then be narrating your life history. Yeah, this is what I'm going through. God is a good God. Amen. God is a good Father. Go to him. Go to him. Amen. Go to him. Go to God and pour your heart to him. He's Father. Somebody say Father. He's Father. He wants to take care of his children. Hallelujah. James 5 verse 13. He says, is anyone, you know, afflicted? He says, let him go on social media. I'm narrating. Let him pray. Come and say, pray. If you're afflicted, pray. See, let the enemy bring affliction. He's giving you more opportunity to draw near to the Father. Yes. Glory to God. One time, a long time ago, the Lord said to me when I was in university, he said, see, when you're going through trials, and oh, that's the time to double your time with God. Like, you know, double it. Amen. But the enemy will make you feel like, well, I better let me just find my levels. Let me find my levels, Jerry. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't find your levels. Pray. Amen. Philippians 4 verse 6 to 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. She made her request made known to God. She went to prayer. All this while she was going to the temple, she did not know that she was going to prison because she was still in her comfort zone. Rabbi, I have not hit the road. She has not cried yet. Very well. Amen. Make your request known to God. Don't get to that point. If the thing is it touches you small, it's touching God. The Bible says that we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. God, Jesus can be touched. Something touches you small, it's worrying you. Jesus wants to know about it, so go to him. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. we can learn from her. And after she prayed, she acted in faith, knowing that she has received that miracle. That's another lesson to learn from her. After she had prayed, she acted in faith, knowing she has received a miracle. Many of us, when we pray, we still go back to complain. We still go back to complain. After you pray, you still go back to complain. Many of you did this now during when I pray for Nigeria. After we pray, finish. Shabbat. Nigeria is blessed to go and start with this country. Self, I don't understand. They have come again. Look at all of them. What are we doing? Hallelujah. Glory to God. After she prayed, she acted in faith, knowing that she has received a miracle. Why? Because you can see that the Bible says after she prayed, she went her way. She went to go and eat. You know, remember before she lost her appetite and she was sad. Now the opposite happened. She went to go and eat and her face was radiant. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. She acted like she has received a miracle. Mark 11 verse 24 tells us. It says, therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. In the believing that you have received them, there is a way to act. There are actions. Glory to God. There is a way to act. Hallelujah. Now let me read 1 Samuel 1 verse 19 in the message. It says, up before dawn, they worshipped God and returned home to Ramah. Elkanah slept with Hannah, his wife, and God began making the necessary arrangements in response to what she had asked. Oh, glory to God. I love this translation. You know, every other translation said, and God remembered her. God remembered her. God remembered. I love what message says. God began to make the necessary arrangements in response to what she has asked. Someone tonight, God is making the necessary arrangements in response to what you have asked. In the name of Jesus, yes, he is doing that. Don't give up on God. No, don't. God is too faithful to fail. Hallelujah. Another lesson we'll learn from her quickly is that there is what to do after you have prayed. So many people just pray and they just feel like I've fulfilled the righteousness of praying. That's all. No. For Anna, it was to stay joyful and have sex. Yes. For you to get pregnant, what do? You have sex now. Will you say you want to be pregnant, you want to be pregnant, and you want to have sex, you run away. I say no. Hallelujah. When you're not the next Mary. Amen. She had sex with her husband. No, you're praying for a job. Maybe that's the one that is peppering you, that is bitter, that has got you, you know, pain and all of that. What do people need to look for a job? What do? They have a CV, Andy. They have set skill sets. Or if you don't have skill sets, you go and get skills. Go and gather skills. There is what to do. Amen. Glory to God. There are exams some of you need to take. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has told some of you, go and take this exam. Go and take this exam. You are like, what does it mean? What does the exam have to do with my next level? So, and then the job opportunity comes and then you see criteria. You must have taken that exam. Like, hey, and the Spirit of God told me to take that exam before. Sorry for you. See, there is what to do. Having prayed. Glory to God. James chapter 2 verse 18 to 20. It says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Say, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You can have faith and no works. But if you don't have faith without works, see what it says. It says, you believe that there is one God. Say, you do well. The devils also believe, and they tremble. You don't know devils believe that there is one God. But what makes you stand out? He says, but with that oven man, know that faith without work is dead. Amen. You say you're in faith. I believe God. What are you doing? What steps are you taking? As led by the Spirit of God. What if you truly believe that God has heard you, there's a way you need to carry yourself. You say, TMA, this year I'm making my million. Shagabalaba. 2021 is our year. What books are you reading? What skills are you getting? What are you praying towards? How's your conversation like? What are you thinking? Are you thinking in millions? What are you doing concerning this faith project that you say you are believing God for your million? Hallelujah. Another lesson we can learn from Anna is that she was specific in prayer. I love that. Hallelujah. you know, if you read verse 20, it says, before the year was out, Anna had conceived and given birth to a son. She named him Samuel, explaining, I asked God for him. Specific. Some of you don't pray. Some of you say, what you say you do is not prayer, you complain. Oh God, you know what they have said. You know that this thing is not working. That one is not working. Father Lord, I thank you. And everything will work, shall. What have you asked? What exactly do you need? You've not asked. She was specific. God, I want a son. And if you give me that son, I'll give him back to you. She made a vow. So be specific in prayer. James 1 verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and shall be given him. If any of you lack wisdom, that was specific wisdom. Wisdom, what you lack. If any of you lack laptop, if any of you lack this, tell God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I remember, you know, I can share testimonies on and off. I needed a laptop when I was in school. Amen. In fact, it's so, let me share this testimony to help you. I needed a laptop when I was in school. And then I began to, you know, pray about it and I began to confess it. I have a Dell laptop. Yes, a Dell small laptop. I saw it was a Dell because I had a Dell small laptop. I had a picture where people wrote different laptops and all of that. And then I began to decree and declare that I want a Dell small laptop. So I met somebody who sells laptop, and then he was like, oh, he's going to help me go to the warehouse in Lagos and get the particular laptop, you know, and all of that. And then he said that there's it's HP that I would get. I said, okay, fine, no problem. Help me get HP laptop and all of that. And then he got to the warehouse and he said, actually, ma, HP has finished. The only laptop we have left is Dell. I just laughed. So what have you been confessing? I said, Dell. He said, yes. That's it. Amen. You shall have what you say. Mark 11 verse 23. If thou shalt say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, I shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. You will have what you say. Amen. So be very specific on what you ask the Father. Hallelujah. You want a car? What kind of car do you want? Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. I believe we're getting blessed tonight. Now the last thing we can learn from her is that, I believe that's the last thing. So many things to learn from her, you know. Before I go into the next one, let me also say this. You know, I wrote it here. It says, do you have a prayer list that you can tick and say God answered as a believer? See, if your Christianity is void of results, no answers to prayer, no progress, you are not saying anything. Please, go on a retreat. I'm serious. Go on a retreat. That this year started. Or throughout 2020, because this year, throughout 2020, you can't say that you prayed and God answered this one. Please, go on the retreat. Let's stop doing Christianity like just going to church, clapping hands, doing all this. God says, call unto me and I will answer you. He said it in his word. Jeremiah 30, I think 31 verse 3. Says, call unto me and I will answer you. Or I think Jeremiah 30 verse 3. Call unto me and I will answer and I will show you great and mighty things. God said, call. So let's see the word of God. You know, work in our life. That's how we'll go for evangelism. We'll go for evangelism with boldness. See, I'm telling you, if you come to God, God will transform your life. Some of you really cannot preach to God about it because you don't even know whether it's God you're able to say whether it's working or not. Yes, it's the truth. So if you're a believer, you're listening to me, you must have prayers that you are saying, God, yes, God answered this one. Amen. Intimacy, time, you know, in WLG, that's where there's time for prayers. Amen. Don't miss it. Next week, don't miss it. Amen. We're going to be having it on Wednesday now, no longer Monday, because I think it's clashing with GIR, and usually our reviews have been Wednesday before, so we shift it to Wednesday. Amen. Have things you're trusting God for. You're saying, God, I want this. I want this. I was telling some of my mentees the other day, have it. I wanted AC in my house. I was like, God, no. AC. And guess what? God didn't just give me one. He gave me two. Amen. I mean, I can go to tell you now that God meets needs. Glory to God. We need to have results. Get angry. Go and wait on God. Go to a retreat. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we getting blessed tonight? Amen. Now, the next lesson we can learn is that Anna kept her vow and God rewarded her. Amen. Anna kept her vow and God rewarded her. She showed us the power of making a vow. Now that's another teaching on its own. Amen. But I'm just going to quickly run through it. Amen. You know, she made a vow. God blessed her with 3 boys and 2 girls. If you read, you know, if you read chapter 2, He blessed her with 3 boys and 2 girls. After, and she kept her vow. She did not say, God, I will give you my son. And then when the son was now, she now said, hey, God, you know what? Actually, you know, that one, that thing I said that time. No. Amen. Vows are powerful. You must keep your vows. Amen. You must keep your vows. There's such a thing as making a vow to God. Yes. Amen. It's the culture of the Jews. Yeah. Amen. Psalm 76 verse 11. It says, vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. Vow can be something you promise, like it can be something like an amount of money or maybe something you promise God that you pay. Yeah, it can be. You can say, this year I vow I'm not going to appear before the Lord without an offering, or I'm not going to appear before the Lord without a certain amount of money. Do you understand? Amen. I trust God to help you. It says, pay that vow. All right, Psalm 50 verse 14, it says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. All right, now let me read another one. Okay, Psalm 61 verse 8 says, I will sing praises unto God forever, that I may daily perform my vows. So your vows can be something that you're doing. You can say, this year I want to be, you know, in church. This year I want to attend service. No matter what, I will attend Bible studies. No matter what, this year I'm going to attend, you know, Toby LG at his feet Bible studies. Do you understand? It could be something you can say, oh, this year I'm going to make sure that I read my Bible every day. Or you say, this year I'm going to make sure I spend so number of hours or minutes before the Lord this year. Do you understand? Your vows can be something that you perform. It can be something that you pay, you do. I believe we got that. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Next, let's just jump right into the lessons from the Samaritan woman. All right. I believe you all know about the Samaritan woman. John chapter 4 is where you find her. Amen. Because of time, we won't be able to read it, but I'm going to read, you know, some parts and all. But this was what happened in John chapter 4. Jesus was going from, going from Judah to Galilee, right? And then he had to pass to Samaria. And then he met, you know, this woman fetching water from the well. And then Jesus said to her, I need you to give me a drink. And then the woman was like, yes, sir, Jews don't have any business to do with the Samaritans, which is true. There's a lot of beef, you know, with the Samaritans and the Jews and all. The Samaritans and the Jews were one before, but Samaritans, you know, they, during the time of the kings, you know, they went to put the gods to be offered in one place. Let's not go into that today. All right, it's taking enough time. Okay, but they were actually not in good terms. All right, you got that. Okay, good. So, and then Jesus began to say to her that I am the living water, as in I have a water that I will give to you and you will not thirst again. And then this woman said, if that's the case, give me the water so I will not thirst again and I will not come here to drink. I feel she didn't really like coming out. You know, her life was just, you know, when your life is messed up, you don't like, you know, coming out in public, people talking about you, you just want to hide, you know, and all of that. So Jesus said, go and call your husband. And girl. And then she said, I don't have a husband though. Jesus not said, that's true. You have had 5 husbands. 5 husbands. Imagine somebody that has had 5 husbands. 5 husbands. I mean, she married one. Lived her life with that one. Divorced him. Maybe they broke. Another one. 4th, 5th husband. And Jesus said, the person you are with now is not your husband. So from 5 husbands, she was cohabiting. As in, one lesson you need to learn from this woman here is that no man can satisfy the vacuum in your heart. This woman, you know, tried to, I can relate with her, because when I was an unbeliever, I always dated guys. Like, I was always dating. So if it was in time of marriage, that's why I just say marry. I felt like guys could give me essence. I felt like guys could satisfy this craving, this hunger, this skinny that I kept feeling. Let me tell you tonight, no man can do that for you. Only Jesus can do that for you. Until you encounter Jesus, you will keep running, looking for who will satisfy that, and you will never find anybody who will be able to do that. Amen. So she kept looking for a man who would do that. Keep looking for a man. That's why she was cohabiting with this one. Amen. Why can't she? Why couldn't she be single? Some of you are jumping from one relationship to another, jumping from relationship to another. You think relationship is the answer to your life problem. Whereas it is intimacy with Jesus that is the answer. So if you're listening to me tonight, you are this person that, I want to be in a relationship. I need a man in my life. Like, it's now like a desire, and you've not, you know, gotten into intimacy with Jesus. You are like the Samaritan woman. And the earlier you settle down and allow Jesus to fill you, to reside in your heart, to, you know, be your all in all, the better for you. Because when you marry, no man can give you everything. I'm telling you, no matter how amazing your husband is. You see some ladies want to wear the man out. Honey, where are you? I cannot breathe without you. I don't understand. That's why I see some women, they are cheating around. Yes, women sleep around. Why? Why? Because they feel that my husband is not around. Mm-mm. Let Jesus be the one that satisfies you. My husband, yes, I'll miss him. If he goes around, I miss him. But, I mean, I plug in my phone. I'm worshiping Jesus. I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. I'm having fun. You know, my husband does not complete me. My husband compliments me. Stop looking for a man to complete you. That's what that woman was doing. She was looking for a man to complete her. She ended up broken several times. You think this is for a woman to have been with 5 different husbands? No. You that have been through those 2 relationships, ask yourself how it went. You know, some of you almost lost your life. Yes, some of you almost lost your life. Like, you almost lost your sanity. You know that Jesus healed your heart. So 5 husbands. She was broken. She wanted Jesus. So when Jesus has said, she not said, anyways, you know, I know that a time will come that the Messiah, you know, is going to come to us and is going to tell us everything. Jesus said, I am he. She's like, eh? It's like this woman has, she's like, you see, all these men, they can't give me anything I need. The Messiah, I need to meet him. So I believe she has been waiting for the Messiah. Her heart has been longing for the Messiah. She wanted to meet him, but she kept looking for the Messiah in men. Amen. So the moment she found him, the Bible says she dropped her water pot. She ran to go and tell people, I have met the Messiah. And you know, something interesting that I saw is that scripture says that, you know, the people she went to go and meet, verse 28, John 4 verse 28, says the woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and said unto the men. So I think she had rapport with a lot of guys. Yeah. Men knew her, like, you know, she had men, they knew her. Maybe all the 5 husbands, maybe they were even rotating her around. You know, guys, they can do that too. Yes, so they will sleep with you first. They will not rotate you to their friend. How was she in bed? She makes sense now. Okay, pass her by to me, you know, break her out, and then I will enter her. You don't know. I know all these things. I understand. I have been there. I know. Don't be that girl that guys used to turn around. They use you around all their friends. But their family relative, they've slept with all. Don't be that lady. I mean, the Bible says that she went to the men. Glory to God. This woman was messed up and broken. But guess what? Guess what? God used her. God used her in a mess to pass a message. The Bible says in 1 verse 2, it says, many more believed because of his own word, and saith unto the woman, now we have believed, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that indeed this is Christ, the Savior of the world. The Bible says the woman wants to go and call everybody. Want to go and call the men, want to go and call people. And then all of them pack themselves. See, I love Jesus. Oh my God. I love Jesus. Jesus does not look at your mess before he says, I can use you. Oh, glory to God. He looks at what he has called you to do. He looks at the person he made you to be. And then he communicates with you on that level. The Bible says that we have been preordained in Christ Jesus unto good works. So some of you listening to me right now, all right, you may have aborted 20 times. Slept with 5 men, different things, you've done plenty of things. Jesus is not looking at you based on that. He's looking at the woman that he made you to be. He's looking at the evangelist in you. He's looking at the prophet in you. He's looking at the visionary woman in you. He's looking at the influential woman in you. He's looking at that woman who has been called to help orphanage. He's looking at that woman in you. He's looking at the author in you. He's looking at the speaker in you. He's looking at the healer in you. That's who Jesus is looking at. And the moment, you know, you allow Jesus to take a hold of your life, he brings out that part in you. According to history, the woman at the well, she died a martyr for Jesus. Because I think the king, I've forgotten his name now, the king, you know, told her to stop preaching about Jesus. She was like, man, I'm gone. Like, I am gone for Jesus. Like, you can't stop this. So they killed her. She found who she wanted. She found what her heart desires. She found her heartbeat and she died for him. Amen. Glory to God. Tonight, ladies, I've come to let you know that there is one person that can possess your heart. You think you have given people your love. You say, oh, tell me, I've loved guys. See, why not pour that love on Jesus? Why not pour that love on Jesus and see what it will make out of you? Hallelujah. See what it will make out of you. Glory to God. See what it will make out of you. Tonight, as we close tonight, I just want you to pray. And wherever you are, if it was Anna that hit you, whatever lesson of Anna that hit you, I want you to just talk to God. If it was, you know, the Samaritan woman that hit you, I just want you to talk to God. Talk to Jesus. Amen. Pour your heart to him. Pour your heart to him, because there's even something similar we can see from two women. Is that Hannah poured her heart to God. This Samaritan woman poured her heart to Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. It's just that Jesus could see her heart, and then she allowed him. She was like, I could see you're a prophet. You know that I have 5 husbands. And then she even tried to wave the conversation around. That part of her life is like a no-go area. You're listening to me right now. You do makeup. You put on your status, slay mama, slay queen. But inside your heart, you are suffering. You are going through pain. You've aborted for that guy. You've done several things. You're sleeping with him, though you're not happy. Hear this. Jesus wants to use you. And he's calling you tonight. If you're that lady, feel free to reach out to me. Amen. Glory to God. I believe we've been blessed tonight. Oh, Father, we give you thanks. Come on, lift up your hands wherever you are and say, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, for speaking to me tonight. I believe you heard God tonight. Come on, let's give him thanks.